So good to be here with you this morning. I was just thinking as I was sitting there the other day, I put on a baseball hat and I put my glasses on and I went, dear Jesus, I look like my brother. We look a lot alike. Anyways, we have, if you don't know me, I am Pastor Brent's older sister, and my husband and I were on staff here when this, not in this building, but when City Church was on Credit View. And we were on staff for 16 years, working with my mom and dad and my brother Nicole and all the rest of the staff. But a wonderful experience. And then we planted a church in Milton and have been pastoring for 17 years. So been in the ministry for 33 years. Wow. But I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms in the room. One of the greatest privileges of my life is being a mom. I have two kids. I forgot the pictures, but I have two kids. My son just got married in January. My daughter is married and gave me my first grandbaby, who I love. I don't get to see them. They're in Florida, but I have FaceTime him multiple times a day, and I get to see him. He's about 5 months old and the cutest thing in the whole world. If I had a picture to show you, you would squeal, which is what I do every time I see him. But wonderful family. Both my kids are in full-time ministry, my son and his wife in Oklahoma, and my daughter and her husband in Florida, both in ministry. Before we start, I just want to pray for Pastor Brent and Nicole as they do their memorial service today and celebrate Nicole's mom, June. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for Pastor Brent and Nicole, and we honor them as the pastors of this house. And we thank you, Lord, that they are celebrating Nicole's mom's life today. And I ask you to be with Nicole. I ask you to be with Nicole's daughters and her brother Chris and all the family. Father, I ask you to comfort them. I ask you to bring them peace and be with them and help them to rejoice over the life of June. And Father, I just pray for this service today, and I thank you, Lord, for what you want to do in every heart and every life. We come to you, Heavenly Father, and we know, Lord, that we're all sitting in this room and we're all hearing a message, but we desire, we crave that you would speak to our hearts, that you would minister to our lives, that you would bring illumination and revelation. And Father, I just declare that your anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. And so, Father, we just thank you for that and give you praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, as a mom with grown kids, you can look back and you can see all the different seasons of life. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "For everything there is a season. There's a time for every matter under heaven." And Psalms 31:14, "But I trust you, O Lord, my times are in your hand." You know, I'm grateful that I can trust in the Lord in every season of life. You know, we can't stop the seasons. Our children are growing. We're developing as adults too. We're growing. And seasons like spring, summer, winter, and fall, we can't change them. We can't stop them. No matter what, we wish our winters were shorter, but they're not. And we can't do anything about those seasons. And when we start a new season, or, you know, like parenthood, when we start and we have these wonderful little creatures that come into our life, and we start navigating this new season, and we have sleepless nights, and we are trying to figure out this new creature that we've been given, and we just don't know exactly what to do. People tell us, we read books. But the thing is, we have to begin to just walk it out. We have to do all the things that we've read, do all the things that people are telling us about. We have to start walking it out. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. You're hearing it every Sunday. You're maybe listening to it during the week, but we have to walk out the Word of God. We have to take steps to just continue to walk by faith and trust God and lean on God and His Word. Amen? So as we navigate these seasons of toddlers and teenagers and Help Us Jesus youth life and teenagers and then college and then all the different changing seasons, but God is so good that He allowed us to create life. I'm so grateful. And to have a relationship with that creation. You know, our children, we train them up in the way that they should go, and then we give them the freedom to walk that out. So today, for Mother's Day, you know, we think of flowers and kissing mom's cheek and celebrating mom and spring weather, but today I'm going to talk to you about something that's not so sweet. I'm going to talk to you about a battle. I'm going to talk to you about a giant, which is something in real life that we all face. We have giants that show up in our life during the different seasons of our life. We might be dealing with different giants. So I'm going to look at the Bible story. I know many of you might have your favorite Bible stories from Sunday school, but we're going to look at the story of David and Goliath. And the one thing I love about this story of David is that he just seems to be like the rest of us. He just seems to be like the average guy with an average life. He didn't go to special combat school. He's just a normal guy on a normal day that brought him to an extraordinary opportunity. And bringing up the next generation, whether you're a parent, a Sunday school teacher, an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, wherever you have the opportunity to reach kids, it's a privilege. Influencing the next generation is an extraordinary opportunity. You know, when we read the story of David and Goliath, most of everybody in this room's probably heard something about it, and maybe just the sling and the stone and the giant falling. And today I want to highlight some specific characteristics of David that we can learn how to deal with giants in our life when they show up. And giants can come in all forms. I remember when my daughter was starting school, elementary school, and it was a new school, and she was anxious, and she was having a hard time adjusting. She didn't know anybody. And we would drop her off at school like most everybody else. We walked to school. It was close, so we'd walk her to school. We'd see her go into the building. So this one particular day, our daughter... this one particular day, my husband's office is in the basement, and he was looking out the window, and he saw these pink snow pants walking in the backyard, and it was in the middle of winter, and so we realized that our daughter had left school. We don't know if it was like, you know, it was in the morning. She'd left school, she'd walked home, and she was in the backyard. You know, she was feeling anxious at being at school. At that time, this was a giant that we were having to deal with. It wasn't just one singular situation. It was an ongoing thing that we had to work with her on and walk out with her. And it wasn't always fun, and we didn't always do things right. But I'm grateful for the grace of God that my daughter has learned how to handle it and overcome it. We look back and we laugh about it. We laugh about the pink pants in the backyard and it, but it was real. Anxiety was real and it was something she was dealing with. Our daughter today graduated from Sheridan College, went to Alabama by herself, not knowing anyone, and went to Bible college there for 2 years. She's now married with a child and a leader in a church. So praise God for his grace and his mercy that he was able to help her and help us to walk that giant out of our land. So giants come in all forms. Giants represent something that would cause us not to move forward, something that we need to overcome, something that we need victory over. And you know, I'm seeing a lot of giants in the land today. I'm seeing it in the schools. I'm seeing it in the streets. I'm seeing it in the government. So what do we do when we see these giants in the land? What do we do for our children that we can feel nervous about, that we can feel concerned, that we can feel anxious about? What do we do when we see these giants in the land? Well, the Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go. And what does that mean? That just, it's a process. It's over time. It's talking to them about situations. It's talking to them on how to, you're training them how to deal with this world that they have to live in, that they have to walk in. And we pray for them and about it. So David was just a teenager. His main task was to take care of his father's sheep. That was his job. And one day, David's father tells him that he wants him to go take some supplies to his brothers who are out on the battlefield. There's a battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. And so David is sent out, and when David gets to the battlefield, he hears this giant. Now, the battle is, they're on two sides. They're each on a hill, and in the middle, there's like a valley, and the giant is down in the valley calling out and taunting the Israelites. It says in 1 Samuel 17, Goliath stood, and he shouted at the ranks of Israel. He wanted them to choose a man and have him come down to me. And if he's able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. This Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man. Let us each fight. So he's taunting. He's shouting at the men as the Israelite army. It was common in that day for armies to settle their conflict with a single combat between two champions. And Goliath was a champion. He was just head and shoulders in height and stature, and he was just an enormous man. And everyone was afraid of him. So daily, sometimes we deal with stuff and giants in our life, and daily we're faced with them. So daily, this Goliath is challenging the Israelites. Fear is always the tactic of a giant. Whether the thoughts come bombarding your mind, and whatever you might be facing, whatever giant you might be facing. You know, when it was happening with my daughter, the thoughts that come, you know, will she ever go to school? Will she ever be able to handle this and overcome this? What if this? What if that? So Goliath is yelling and taunting and creating fear with his words and with what you saw when you looked at him. You were fearful. Sometimes we can look at stuff and it creates fear. Not only the thoughts, but the looking at something. Looking at the news. Looking at what's happening in the schools. We can look at stuff and it just creates fear. 1 Samuel 17, verse 11, when Saul and all the Israel Israelites heard the words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Saul is the leader. He's the leader of the army, and he's afraid. Saul is a warrior. He's been in many battles, and he is afraid. So what do we do when everyone around us is afraid? The teachers are afraid. Your spouse is afraid. Everyone's afraid. What do we do when everyone's afraid? I don't know about you, but in that situation, I need the word. The word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my pathway. It wants to light up how I go forward in darkness, in this world. It lights up the path forward. So I need the word. I need to become steady. I need for that word to anchor my soul when my mind and my will and my emotions are getting the best of me. I need something to anchor me. So I will go to the word. I will find scripture that helps cover my case. I will write it out. I will pray it out. I will say it out because I'm needing to get my soul. I'm needing to get my mind in line and not be taken out by fear. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So daily, this Goliath is challenging the Israelites to produce a man. The problem was that none of the Israelite army, none of these men, believed themselves to be equal to the task. And you as a parent, you need to know. You need to know and you need to believe. You need to have a vision on the inside of you that you're equal to the task of raising the children that you have. You say, "Well, you don't know my children." No, I don't. But God does. God knows everything about your children. He knows the number of hairs on their head. He knows the plan of God for their life. He knows everything about them. He's got an inside track to what's going on in their heart and their mind, and he wants to help you. Amen? He wants to help you. He wants to equip you. He wants to give you daily grace. Number three, when you see giants in the land, we need to have a different perspective. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. David asked the men. So David comes in. He's brought this supply to his brothers, and there's a bunch of Israelite army standing around. And David asked the men near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God?" David arrived and he saw the situation, the same situation that all these men saw. And he had a different perspective than the rest of the army. David recognized this was not just a battle between the nations, not just a battle for land and resources. This was a spiritual battle that was happening. And you know, when it comes to our kids and our family, we need to have a different perspective. We need to be like, "You think you're going to touch my kids? You think you're going to take my kids down the wrong path?" I mean, we have to believe and just be stalwart, just be standing. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." We're not doing a battle with our children. put on the whole armor of God. God says, be strong in my power. Lean into me. I've got the power. I've got the strength. I've got whatever you need. Lean into me. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you can stand when it's not looking good. My brother and I are probably one of the perfect examples. We were heading the wrong direction. I can't speak for my brother, but I'll speak for me. And I was heading the wrong direction. And my parents were praying for us. And I remember going out to a party. I think I had hid a Mickey of gin in the back creek. And my parents were saying to me, well, remember who you are. And I'm thinking, remember who I am? What are you talking about? But they were declaring, they were praying, they were believing, they were standing, and I thank God for my parents. I thank God for them standing and walking by faith. My dad says I flicked my hair every time I was trying to get out of something, rolling my eyes. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. And so parents, no matter what you see, continue to stand and believe God. Amen. The Holy Spirit will move on your children's hearts and lives when it doesn't even look like anything's happening. Praise God. So God wants us to take up the armor of God, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers in the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then it says, take on the whole armor. And then it says, pray. Pray always. Our kids don't know the rights and privileges in Christ. We bring to them a different perspective. We need to have a different perspective, a godly perspective. Listen, they're going out in the world. They're being bombarded with the world every single day. When they come home, we need to have a different perspective in our home. It's a different place. There's a different perspective in here. When you see giants in the land, don't lose heart. David had lots of opportunity. You might have lots of opportunity to lose heart. David, he sees this taunting giant, and then his brother gets angry at him because David's calling the men out. Then he goes to the captain's tent, and he tells the captain of the army, I'll go fight. And the captain says, you're not able, you're just a kid. So all of this is coming against him. Everyone around him has given up. His brother's mad. The captain doesn't believe in him. Nothing about David indicated that he even had a chance of success against this giant. Yet David did not let this discourage him. David started to recount the things of the Lord. He started to declare what God was going to do. And that's what we need to do. Recount what the Lord has done and begin to declare what God's going to do. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, David said, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, here he's declaring, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. The Lord who rescued me will also rescue my children. Amen? So recount what the Lord has done. Declare what God is going to do. So what does Saul, the captain of the army, do next? He says, okay, David's doing this in front of him. And he says, okay, go. He says, but hold on, put on my armor. I'm not sure if you're fully enough for this task. I don't believe. Take my armor. But the thing is, you need to know is that you don't need to be somebody else. God knew exactly what he was doing when he gave you those kids, those children, in order to, you don't need to be anybody else to defeat the giants in your kid's life, in your life. You and the greater one equals victory. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, it says, then David, he took his staff in his hand. He chose 5 smooth stones from the stream. He then put them in his pouch in the shepherd's bag and his sling in his hand, and he approached the Philistines. He didn't just approach, he ran. He ran at the giant. Now, 5 smooth stones, 5 in the Bible symbolizes God's grace, goodness, and favor. 5 represents grace upon grace. 5 smooth stones, a sling, his shepherd's pack. He's preparing for battle. I envision this where David has got these 5 smooth stones and they're in his shepherd's pack, and he goes running at the giant, and these 5 smooth stones are just jingling around in there, and they sound like a maraca. But what's happening is those 5 smooth stones, there's grace upon grace. God's supernatural ability is happening on the inside of this shepherd's bag. And then he has a sling, which he's not like gifted, just it's something he grew up using. It's something he's developed, something he's now become good at, and he uses the sling. And it says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 48, as Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran to meet him. Don't draw back. Don't draw back. Stand and believe. Stand and see the salvation of your family. Stand and see the salvation of your children. Continue to believe God no matter what you see, no matter what it looks like, no matter the eyes rolling, no matter which way they've gone. God, put your trust in the Lord that he's moving. I remember my parents had taken me to a special service, and I was sitting there and I was writing notes with a person, a friend that I brought to the meeting. It was an evangelist. And I don't think I was paying attention in the whole service, but all of a sudden, you know, that he said, let's all bow our heads. And I bowed my head, and he began to speak and call people to Jesus. And I just, streaming tears. I didn't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, but the Holy Spirit was drawing me. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He draws men to him. And that's where you put your trust, that the Holy Spirit will move upon your children's hearts and lives and draw them to him. Amen. So David didn't defeat Goliath because he was really good at a sling. He defeated Goliath because of God's grace and supernatural power. And this same grace is available to us to raise these wonderful gifts. You know, the word says that these children are arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Rise up and be the mighty man and the mighty woman that your children need you to be, so that they will be shot forth like an arrow into this world, but they will be full of God, full of his word, full of his spirit. Amen. 5 smooth stones. They didn't look like anything. There were pebbles compared to the sword of a giant, Goliath. But when we come dressed, tapped into God's grace, God's ability, you have more than enough to defeat the giants in your land. To defeat the giants that are facing your children in this generation. Let's just close our eyes and I'm going to declare some things. You agree with me. I'm going to declare some things over your kids today, over our kids. Heavenly Father, we just declare that our children are blessed and mighty in the land. Every weapon that's formed against them shall not prosper. Every tongue that rises against them shall fall in judgment. We declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My children hunger and thirst after righteousness, which is right standing with God. As the deer pants after the water brook, so pants their soul after you, O God. And we declare all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the most powerful prayer and declaration that anyone can make is the prayer of salvation. In Romans 10, verse 9 to 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. So if you've never prayed that prayer today, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, no matter what age you are today, take this opportunity and pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I choose to follow you. You are now my Lord and my Savior. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me just pray for you before we go. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for every mom, every dad, every youth worker, every teacher under the sound of my voice, whether in this room or online. Father, I just thank you that we can run the race that's set before us. We can run towards any giants that are facing us. We can run because we have your grace, because we have your power, because we have your ability. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So, Father, we thank you for infusing strength to any parent in this room that's struggling, any parent in this room that is feeling weighed down by what they're seeing. By what they're seeing in their home, by what they might be seeing in their child's life, Father, I ask you to infuse your power, your strength, your might, your ability, that they are able to stand in the face of any giants they are facing, that they're strong in you, Lord, in the power of your might, that, Father, they can stand in your strength, and they can see you move this mountain. You are a mountain moving God. And so, Father, we just look to you. We trust in you. We thank you, Father, for moving on hearts, lives, families. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for just infusing strength, strength to stand, giving people a different perspective today, encouraging their perspective, and that they just rise up in strength and stand. I thank you for it all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Lovely to be with you today.
Beautiful. One more time. Can we give it up for Pastor Sherry, please? Thank you so much just for your deposit and investment in our church. What a great word we got to hear this morning. Hey, she also just led us in a prayer. If that was you, if you made a decision to follow Jesus for the first time today, if you made a decision to rededicate your life to him, we are so excited for you. Truly is the best decision you've made. And we want to just partner with you in your faith journey. And so if that was you, we'll encourage you to fill out the Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you. Turn that into our info desk right in our main lobby. Our team's going to celebrate with you, and as well, they have some free resources they want to put in your hands as you start this new journey of faith. All right, some announcements for you before we head out today. Just want to remind you of a couple of things that Michael and Ruth mentioned in our announcements. If you're interested in getting water baptized or you're wondering what your next step of faith should be, head on over to our info desk and our team will help you get better connected there. And as well, like we've mentioned all morning, it is Mother's Day. We want to make sure we honor all the moms in the house. And so when you head out into the lobby, you'll see a bunch of roses. We have hand-picked flowers just for you. Make sure you grab a flower. And as well, there's a photo booth little area there where you can take a picture with your mom. Our creative team, they're there. They'll be able to take your photo with your mom, and they're actually going to be posting your photos online later today so that you can grab them. Let me invite you to stand as we get ready to go this morning. If you came to church hoping for someone to pray with you or for you, our leaders, they're making their way down to the front of the stage right now. They'd be more than happy to pray with you for anything that you may be facing today. City Church, we love you. We invite you to join us back next week at 8:30, 10:15, or noon. We love you. Have a great day. Happy Mother's Day. You are dismissed.